Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for holding on. Before we go any further, listen, I want you people to stand up and salute these two great co-hosts that we got on tonight. Miss Monica Schaefer, coming in from Canada. She's residing in Canada now. She's being persecuted there for months, if not years. Miss Bertha Voss is currently residing in Germany. And I just have no end of respect and admiration I have for these two wonderful warrior ladies. I don't know anybody with the kind of courage they have. Like I said, Miss Monica has been in prison in Germany before for just having a thought crime, for making a video. And also Miss Bertha Voss, I've got to ask you a question. The audience and we're concerned with your well-being. Or do you think you're in danger? This is probably a rhetorical question of prosecution by the German government for being on this radio show.
I think there have at the moment they have bigger problems than that, which is COVID-19 crisis and their own crisis because, people are sitting at home watching the daily politics and asking themselves, What are these guys doing? Where is the clear solution? Where is the clear line of these politics? It's just incompetent in many ways and not very satisfying. And so they have to go on and keep the people willingly to vote for them. So I don't think that they have time at the moment to have, for such things, in my view. And then there are also other things I observed here on German ground. And I also spoke with Monica about this, but maybe we can talk about it in another show or so. Not this time.
Maybe so. Well, listen, I cannot tell you how much respect I have for you. Courage. You just have courage and character and a righteousness and a deep love for your people who you're trying to stand up and help. You know, we can't get one man out of 100 in this country here. We have what I call the masses. And this is a quick rabbit trail. I'll get off of it. I was rereading how Abraham was trying to save Lot and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's got to be quick. Here's the point. Abraham tried to get Sodom saved. Lot came. Abraham went to God and he said, if I can get 50 decent people, would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah? God said, yes, if you can get 50. Well, he said, what if I get 45? I couldn't get 50. What if I can get 40? What if I can get 35? He couldn't even get 10. Look at this. They even had to send angels to drag Lot out. The angels had to grab Lot and physically remove him and his wife and his two daughters from Sodom and Gomorrah. That's how much they loved their sin. Those were the masses. And even when they left Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's wife looked back because she longed. She didn't want to leave that city, that Sodom and Gomorrah, that son. Here in the United States, and I'm getting ready to end this, here in the United States, we have Sodom and the Potomac. We have Washington, D.C. We have Los Angeles. We have all these big cities. They're just a morass, a maze, a filth pit of perversion. And the perversion is worshipped in this country, just like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the point is, I'm trying to make is, don't waste your time on the masses, people. God wasted his time on the masses in Sodom and Gomorrah. He couldn't get one person to be righteous, so he killed every stinking one of them, and they deserve to die. And you know what? We have this radio show here. We're out for the few, the 2-3%, because we, you know why? Because we cannot get these masses. They love being in bondage in Sodom and Gomorrah. And with that, Miss Monica, I'm going to you.
Well, one thing about the masses is that many people, they will follow which way the wind blows. And in any time of great change, it hasn't taken a 51% majority to wake up and, you know, see what's going on and make the change. No, it is always just a few, and then most people will just come along. And I guess that's the nature of the social creature that we are, social animals, I guess you could say. And most people are followers, and that isn't a bad thing as long as we're not infiltrated by an enemy. But as long as we are infiltrated by an alien enemy who hides amongst us, and this is what the Jews do. They infiltrate, they get into positions of power, government, they get into the professions, and the media, so they can shape how we think. Then it is a bad news that most people are followers and asleep at the wheel. However, this can change, and it doesn't take 51%. Like, it might just take, you know, a few more. Like, some people say, you know, 7 or 15% of the people are waking up now. And boy, that's a lot when you think about it. That is a lot. I also want to say, before we go on, to say that we are standing on the shoulders of giants. We are actually nothing compared to the people who did the real hard work before us, like Ernst Zundel, like
exactly.
Robert Fulton. May their souls rest in peace. They are both deceased now, and not so long ago, just within the last few years, both of them. And there are many others. And amongst school teachers, because we started out by talking about school teachers, Jim Keekstra, a hero. He taught his high school students to think critically, and he was persecuted, and he is no longer alive either. And people being fired, like Berta, you were lucky that you had a teacher who was not fired, and I asked you about that last week, and he retained his job. But you know, there are others who do lose their jobs, like the Germany, the Volkslehrer, Nikolai Nehrling. So he lost his job as a school teacher, and became the Volkslehrer, that's the moniker he goes by. So the teacher of the folk, the teacher of the people, which is wonderful. And he's doing wonderful work in that regard. I do want to go back to the Nuremberg trial. There is so much to talk about that. Did I mention that the torturers were Jewish? And did I mention that 75% of the staff were Jewish for the Nuremberg trial? And I hadn't yet gotten around to talking about the young men, the Malmedy case. All of them, I think there were 74 of them, had their testicles crushed, and to make confessions about the German, you know, role. And nobody actually really knows what happened there at Malmedy. But certainly, if you need to crush the young boy's testicles, that's not a proper evidence gathering.
And Miss Monica, we got to go to a quick break. We'll be right back, folks. Hang on.
Okay.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Well, people, thank you so much for holding on. We're getting ready to go back to Miss Bertha Foss and Miss Monica. We have, in case you haven't been listening, we have Miss Bertha Foss coming in from Germany. We have Miss Monica Schaefer from Canada, and they're doing our, this is our second in a series on the Holocaust, exposing the Holocaust. I'd like to make this quick comment before we go back. I think I said last week, in reference to liars and lying, it's been going on since the beginning of time. But, you know, if you go back, people say, well, did you talk about the Old Testament and the Jews, how wonderful they are? But if you want to think about what Jesus said about them, I referenced 844 last week. I don't have my Bible now, but basically he said this. He was talking to the Pharisees and the scribes, which were their higher muckety-bucks of the Jews. And he called them to their face. He said they were liars. He said, you're of your father, the devil. And the reason you're liars is because your father, the devil, was a liar. He's the chief liar. When he tells a lie, he tells it on his own. He's the father of the liar. And those same people that were back in Jesus' day that were spreading all these lies about Jesus Christ, it's no mystery, people. I mean, why is it such a mystery to people out there listening to this show, or people that hate us? Why is it such a mystery that you're having all these lies spread in society? The people back there in Jesus' day that crucified him on the cross for dying for their sins, they're the same. Their progeny are the same ones spreading these lies today. They were the same ones that spread the liar of all lies in about what happened at the Holocaust. And you know, also, and furthermore, we talked about this all the time in Ephesians. Ephesians talk about it in the Holy Bible. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against the spirit of evil in high places. That's who we're fighting about. That's who's lying their tail off. And here's this just in from Rich, my brother Rich. Jewish or Negroes, makes no difference. Rudolf Hess was eventually murdered in Spandau prison by an American Negro guard. He was the last surviving leader of the NSDAP. He was the deputy Führer. Get this. Peace emissary Churchill refused to see Rudolf Hess when he flew to England. That Satan Churchill, the satanic worshiping, he didn't want peace, but he locked him up in the Tower of London. I forgot who was talking. Miss Monica, was it you? Go ahead, Miss Monica.
okay, I'll just carry on with these proceedings. And here is something that would be typical of these proceedings and these malmedy, and I call them boys because these were late recruits in the late part of the war. So they 18 years old, 17, 19. Anyway, a boy of 18, Arvid Freimuth, he hung himself in his cell after repeated beatings rather than sign the confession dictated to him. And the prosecution was permitted to bring as quote-unquote evidence the statement which he would have been forced to sign had he not committed suicide. This is how these Nuremberg trials went. And now, when I've said to people in the past, people who were formerly my friends and just could not wrap their heads around this, so
my
call
God.
Them normies.
That's
yeah.
Miss Monica, I got to chirp in. That's straight out of the Talmud, baby. That's straight up Jewish
yeah.
Talmudism. I mean, a Christian could not even make that up. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm just really wound up, but go ahead.
Oh, no. It is so unbelievable. It is hard to fathom, hard to wrap one's head around. And people will just outright not believe that torture was used. But, you know, here's a quote from Rosenfeld, one of those notorious four Jewish torturers. When asked if they used torture, yes, of course, we couldn't have made those birds sing otherwise. It was a trick, and it worked like a charm. So, you know, and it is well documented that these torture sessions that happened there. And like I said earlier, many high-ranking people in America did speak out against it and did tell about it. And, you know, 25 German Catholic bishops in 1948, they said, will not the tortures at the preliminary inquest at Schwäbische Hall and Obersessel and mass executions at Landsberg later on do more harm to victorious America than a lost battle? You know, this they had written. And many, many others had objected. But, you know, you had brought up this Rudolf Hess, who was Hitler's right-hand man, I guess you could say, and he's the one who made the attempt at making peace and had parachuted into Scotland and got caught. And yes, he was imprisoned for many, many years, for a long time in solitary confinement. And finally, when he was to be let go, he was found hung. They said it was suicide. There's no way it was suicide. They killed him. They didn't want him out telling his story. But on another Rudolf Höss, spelt slightly differently, but this confuses many people, there was the man at Auschwitz, Rudolf Höss, who supposedly confessed major confessions, and we've already talked about their methods for getting these confessions. Now, this is going to be interesting because he confessed things which were not possible and which did not happen. He confessed overseeing the killing of 2.5 million at Auschwitz personally. Now, let's talk about these numbers because they originally had 4 million died here on the plaque at Auschwitz. After the great Toronto Holocaust trials in the 1980s, so this is Ernst Sundel, who was on trial in Toronto, and we would like to talk about that still, what all came out there, because actual evidence came out there that completely flies in the face of the Holocaust story. Anyway, after that plaque came down. They no longer said 4 million. They reduced it to 1.5 million, and later they reduced it even further. Now, the official number is still 6 million, right? Everybody says, oh, yes, 6 million Jews were murdered in World War II by the evil Germans. So 6 minus 3 is still 6. This is very, very interesting Jewish math. And, you know, that brings us back to that cult number. Now, when they talk about endless evidence for the Holocaust, their primary evidence is these confessions and eyewitnesses. That is that's their evidence. There isn't physical evidence at all for the Holocaust. In fact, in the Zundel trials in the 1980s, this came out. Can a single autopsy reports be produced for a body that was gassed? Not a single one. Can a single document be produced that there was an extermination plan or an order by Hitler? Can a single document be produced? Not one. Not one. This all came out, and the Holocaust historians had to admit to this. They had, you know, at their for the prosecutor side chose, you know, the top Holocaust historian in 1985, Raul Hilberg is his name, and he was forced to admit on the stand in cross-examination that he was at a loss for both of these things that I've just mentioned. Not a single document that says extermination plan, not a single autopsy report. And, you know, then he brought out something to the effect that, well, you know, the Nazis communicated by some kind of, telepathy, like the movement of the head, or, I mean, nonsense, complete nonsense that they were forced to say. And all his evidence was based on one person's account. And I hear the music
song, but we'll talk more about Miss Monica, we have to go to another break. People, you're listening to Miss Monica Schaefer and Miss Berta Voss. We'll on our Holocaust series. We'll be right back. Hold on.
Across the land, you're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The Treasury Department says more than half the people eligible for coronavirus relief payment have gotten their stimulus money so far, with 4 in 10 still waiting for a direct deposit or check. More than 88 million payments totaling $158 billion had gone out, according to the most recent data from the IRS, who expects to send out a total of over 150 million payments. A state-by-state breakdown released by the IRS shows that progress sending out the payments has been relatively consistent. Residents of California, that has the largest population, have gotten a total of 9.1 million payments worth nearly $16 billion. New York, which was the state hit hardest by the coronavirus, has seen 5.5 million payments totaling about $9.4 billion. We'll keep you updated with everything going on with the coronavirus right here at USA Radio News.
So, I don't know if you saw this, but there was just this big study about anxiety among us. Really interesting in this study about what can keep us up at night. One of the top stressors out of all the things to worry about is paying for healthcare. A huge majority of us say we're worried about that. It's totally understandable, but there's an affordable alternative to health insurance. It's MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it has worked beautifully for more than 25 years. And not only do people save lots of money, they get access to a huge network of doctors. They get to take advantage of 24/7 live access online where they can talk to a doctor and even get prescriptions. And of course, there is the savings. With MediShare, the typical family saves $500 a month. That can help you sleep easier too. There's a lot to love about it. No wonder it's grown so much. Here is the number to find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Florida officials are considering adjusting the state's hurricane response plans to prepare for the possibility of an early storm season coinciding with the COVID-19 pandemic. The state's Division of Emergency Management Director Jared Moskowitz said they're considering using hotel rooms instead of schools or mass shelters to allow people to continue social distancing. People there would be given masks and other protective gear while having their temperatures monitored. The director also said the state might want to talk about rideshare companies providing transportation to those facilities to avoid the problems that buses or shuttles would create. Texas has expanded its online interactive map of COVID-19 testing locations throughout the state to include mobile and walk-in locations, both public and private. A new search feature allows Texans to locate test collection sites near them and includes important details such as contact information and hours of operation for each location. More than 340 test collection sites are currently listed on the map. This is USA Radio News.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, thank you so much for holding on. We're getting ready to go back to Miss Monica Voss and Miss Monica Schaefer and Bertha Voss. We're right in the middle of our Holocaust series. I'm going to read a couple of things that Brother Rich sent me. He sends me nuggets all night long. Some of these prisoners were forced to sign confessions that were dictated to them in English, and they didn't even understand it, but they had to sign it anyway. We talked about Rudolf Hess. He made an outstanding confession, an outlandish confession, that no one with any knowledge or sense would believe. In order to save his family, they were being threatened with execution. They were threatening to execute his family if he didn't confess. And here's something else. I think Monica and Bertha both will probably know an attorney by the name of Sylvia Stoltz. STOLZ. She went to jail. Get this, people. She's in a jail in Germany right now for merely asking the court, where is the physical evidence? Go ahead, girls. Go ahead, Monica.
Yeah, I could talk lots about Sylvia Stoltz. She's in jail right now, actually this time around, for a speech that she gave in 2012 in Switzerland about the legal situation in Germany, about this paragraph 130, and about how she had gone to jail for 3.25 years, that was a few years ago, defending Ernst Zundel in Germany when he was on trial there. She did her job too well. In a nutshell, that's what happened. The judge had told her, no, stop. What you're saying here is against the law because you're denying the Holocaust. But she was bringing evidence into the court, evidence that would support the position that Ernst Zundel was not lying about what he was saying. He had come to his conclusions based on evidence, and she was bringing this evidence in. They actually physically took her out of the courtroom at that time, and then she ended up, you know, having her own trial and went to jail for 3.25 years. When she got out, she spoke at this free speech conference in Switzerland. And for that, she is serving 18 months prison time, not for saying this or that did or did not happen, but simply for describing this legal situation and describing what had happened to her in her defense of her client, Ernst Zundel. And, you know, there are many people in jail for this law or for saying the wrong thing. My brother is one of them. He still sits in a jail cell in Landsberg. And people need to be aware of this, that also my brother got more jail time also for things that he said in our trial in 2018. Just to be clear, you cannot say X, Y, Z, then you cannot explain how you reach your conclusions X, Y, Z in the court because you are again saying X, Y, Z in public, quote unquote, because the courtroom is a public place. But that can be debated, and I did talk at length about that in a previous show with you, Eddie, where I described how it was in the court. It's a very intimidating place to go, but you cannot defend yourself. You see, so the same laws that they made at the Nuremberg trials about, you know, evidence is, you don't need evidence to talk about something that's common knowledge, i.e. this Holocaust, and that can be dismissed. You don't, you know, we're not even going to go by those rules. They're doing it now. This has not changed, yes. You see. So I will.
Absolutely.
I'm dominated here. I should let Bertha throw
That's
her.
Quite a wrong. I was going to ask Miss.
No, problem. Okay. I'm awesome.
I was going to ask Miss Bertha a question. Miss Bertha, what would happen if the judge that put Miss Stoltz in jail, what if he just said, you're right, we have no evidence, no physical evidence? What would happen to him, Miss Bertha?
Well, of course,
what happened to the judge?
He would lose his job because then this whole system would fall into pieces. Because after, you know, it's like a domino stone kicking, and then it has certain effects. One thing comes to another thing, and further questioning, and you know, and this is what they are not interested in. Because they live quite well in this BRD bubble, so to say. Everybody can live here quite well. You can have good jobs with good salaries. And yes, you can blanket out this whole problem. Okay, every year is Memorial Day, but the normal life, it's not, or for many people, they are busy with their own lives, with their consumption, with their dreams and Selbstverwirklichung. I think it's quite similar how Americans live, because this was also what was introduced into Germany, this American way of life, which everybody is also still pursuing. And I think there are still many Germans who also would like to live in the United States as a place of a great democracy and freedom and such. So maybe, do you understand the point I'm making? People.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. They love their Sodom and Gomorrah. They most certainly do. They love their sin. They love their slovenly, their habits. You know, just got another tip just hot in, and then I'm going to ask Ms. Berta another question. You know, the NSDAP was outlawed in Germany, but get this, people, guess what's not outlawed there? The Communist Party. The Communist Party is legal there. It certainly is. We don't have, really. You know what? I keep going back to...
The KPD was outlawed too, but it was more easy for communists to rename their party and start again. You have a lot of small communist parties here in Germany, but you can't have a nationalist. Or at least the NPD is there, but they try to close it down. But yeah, it's more easy to have a communist party than a nationalist party. That's for sure.
So
the KPD
as such
is banned.
Okay. But you do have some small cells. Is that what you're saying, Miss Berta? Some small cells of the NSDAP. Maybe I'm not making myself clear.
Or small cells. There are people. Still know.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was afraid. I wouldn't make myself clear. Well, let me ask you this quick question before we go back to Monica. Now, you mentioned that the people love their lifestyle just like they do here in the United States. Let me now, two part question. With the massive influx of non-white, non-German people into Germany, how much has the standard of living dropped? And that's one question. My second question is, the standard of living, in my opinion, will eventually drop to a critical mass. It'll get below a critical mass. Then will the German people regain their character, their righteousness, indignation? Will they rise up against this Jewish thugocracy that's controlling Germany like it's controlling here in the United States? Will that happen, Ms. Berta?
It's in the making, I would say. Because Germany West, for example, has become used to it, that there is an influx of Africans and Muslims and all sorts of kinds, like Berlin too. It's far and foremost Middle Germany, you know, like Saxony or Mecklenburg-Vorpommern, Brandenburg, all these kind of counties where people are not interested to have or to live like the West Germans are already used to it. And we have, for example, one representative of a foundation, Frau Kahane, who said, literally said in 2016 that Middle Germany is too white. We need more foreigners in these areas. And so they were pushing quite literally this agenda. And yes, this for first made a reaction in Middle Germany, so which put the AfD on the map, and which is still quite successful. But there are some changes now. In March, they announced that the right wing in the AfD is going to be abolished. And I think Björn Höcke agreed on this, but so far I don't know how this is going to be going to go on.
AfD, that's the alternative for Germany, basically, just for people to know. And it's really been infiltrated.
Yes, exactly.
It's been completely infiltrated.
And who also made up a Jewish section. You know, they're quite moved a little bit.
Well, girls, we got to go to another break. We've got to go to our last segment. So people, hold on. You are listening to Miss Bertha Foss and Miss Monica Schaefer in our groundbreaking Holocaust exposure series. Be right back.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no money.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. Then you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, 4 grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved 4 checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Well, people, we're right back. I love that music. I could listen to that music all night. I handpicked it myself. I think what Miss Bertha was saying before we went to the break, like Rich would say, in other words, what she's saying is that the communist East part of Germany is more German than the former West Germany. Would that be a fair statement, Miss Bertha, before we go back to Miss Monica?
Yes, they had 45 less propaganda, so to say. And they are more, more aware of this, about what the TV and the mainstream media is doing, because they know it back from the old GDR. It's a kind of déjà vu for them.
Miss Monica, would you like to make some comments here?
Oh, definitely. Actually, I think more people in the, what used to be East Germany, the GDR, are away, have the experience before 1989 of being in a police state where they already are tuned in to that they're being lied to with, you know, propaganda machine. Whereas in the West, we were always told, well, we have freedom of speech and freedom of the press, so we were much more easily manipulated by such because we trusted these sources. We trusted that they are telling us the truth. So that is how I see it. And so, of course, the mainstream media paints all these places in the former East Germany as being totally radical right and neo-Nazis and skinheads. And, you know, that's what they, how the mainstream media treats that. But I did want to come back to the evidence story. And is there feedback here? Yeah, okay, so because probably, you know, the most important part of the evidence story regarding the Holocaust is whether there was... okay, Robert Bolisson, he asked for years and years, decades, he said, draw me or show me a gas chamber, and nobody could. So, and that's... Now, Fred Leuchter, he was the expert on execution in the United States, including gas chamber execution. He was sent to Auschwitz by the Ernst Sandl team during the 1988 Holocaust trial in Toronto. And he went as a Holocaust believer. And he did say, well, he would do his thorough investigation and then he would report. And they sent him over and he came with the conclusion that there was not a single person killed by gas. So there was no evidence for it. And yes, there was Zyklon B. And so people will show these, you know, empty cans of Zyklon B, pictures of that. Those were for killing lice. So really, in effect, the Germans were actually trying to protect the health of the inmates of these camps because lice carried typhus. And typhus was a deadly disease at the time. And so, yes, there was these... Exactly. And so one of the confessions back to Rudolf Höss, he said that his men entered 10 minutes after gassing. Now, that would be impossible, physically impossible. They would have all died. His men would have died because apparently the procedures to defumigate after fumigating the clothing and whatnot with the Zyklon B took 20 hours. It was a very complex, complicated procedure to make sure that everybody was safe. And so, yeah, this is completely misconstrued, misrepresented. There's no evidence. They always say that there's the more evidence for the Holocaust. It's the best documented event in all of history. But yet that is why they forbid evidence in the court of law, because it is simply not true. Why else would they forbid evidence in the court of law? And that's why we've been dwelling on these trials so much, is because this is where these things are being, how could you say, tested, you could say, but and then how the media then tells the public, well, you see, this is how it is, the, you know, the Holocaust happened. There is another example of a trial that I'm going to chime in just for a second.
I'm just going to chime in. Don't forget the chemist, Guillermo Rudolph, and his studies on the gas chambers. He went to jail for that. And also, I'd like to make one other point. Mentioned the Zyklon B, the records are, I've seen the records myself out of the book. I think my other co-host has it. But the vast majority of the Zyklon B was used by the German army on the German soldiers because, dude, like you mentioned, there was a massive, massive outbreak of typhus all over Europe, especially in the Eastern theater where the Germans were fighting. That's what they used most of that for. But anyway, back to your comment on Guillermo Rudolph.
I'm so glad you brought up his name, because earlier when we talked about these giants that we are thankful for and riding on their coattails, and you know what, you can't even begin because you're going to miss them, but Guillermo Rudolph was in my mind to bring him up, his name specifically, and there are many more, and so I apologize for, I'm not going to start to try to name others because I'll miss a lot, but Guillermo Rudolph is particularly important because he did primary study as a chemist and then went to jail for that. And he lives in the United States basically as a refugee. He can't go back to Germany. He would be jailed again. And he does good work. He has put out so many books and edited so many books. It's just fantastic. The Holocaust Handbook series. But let me just tell you about another case which illustrates the absurdity of this whole story. The Institute for Historical Review, the IHR, they put out an offer. Now, I don't know which year this was. It's a while back. They offered a $50,000 award to anyone who could prove that Jews were gassed at Auschwitz. Well, guess what happened? None came forward. Nobody could claim that award. Nobody came forward with proof. But a survivor, so-called survivor, Mel Mermelstein, sued for $17 million because this award, it caused him to lose sleep and his business suffered. And it was injurious denial of established fact, is what he said. And again, in this trial, the judge gave judicial notice. What that is essentially like Articles 19 and 21 during the Nuremberg trials, judicial notice of an established fact. So the judge said to the jury, "This is the Holocaust is established fact. That is not what we are proving or testing here." And so this guy got this huge award for basically hurt feelings, you could say.
It does. Exactly. And also, Rich texted in, the United States Army also used this Cyclone B to fumigate soldiers' clothing because they, too, were at risk for getting this typhus disease, man. But, we see the same thing here. I was in court more than once with a Sodom of the Potomac. They dragged me in. Certain pieces of evidence they wouldn't let me present. For instance, I would try to tell them about the Constitution, how the Constitution does not allow for a central bank, for a Federal Reserve. And I was told to quickly shut up, a few times matter of fact, the judge said that they were not going to allow the Constitution in her courtroom. And I thought, I'm screwed. But anyway, I'm going to shut up, get off of that. Go back. Back to you. You're on a roll, Miss Monica. So we have about probably 2.5 to 3 minutes. So Miss Berta, would you like to comment on anything Miss Monica said? Because we're getting close to the end of the hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I was always interested in Zindel. I know his name, but it's not very known here in Germany, so it was good to hear what he was doing and his team, and also the stuff outside Germany, that it's not so easy, to go to trial. So that the law situation is everywhere over the West the same. Because I think I think in the Muslim countries they are a bit more open about this. As far as I remember, this Iranian president Ahmadinejad, for example.
Oh yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And this is how I have always stumbled over this. Yes, Monica.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. The Holocaust story has not been pummeled into people's brains in other parts of the world where the populations are basically not white or not primarily white, you could say, because this Holocaust story, the construct of it, is extremely important in their agenda of now, this what we see very clearly now, white genocide. And this brings us very nicely sort of round trip to what your show, Eddie.
I would like to add also something, because this, when you're surfing the web, it always staggered me when people, who are saying, "Oh, I'm half white, but I'm great admirer of Adolf Hitler." When you sit here in this German bubble, you really scratch your head and ask yourself, "What? Why?" Why are these guys so people so full of admiration and euphoric to know him and what he has done? So they were
ladies, we're completely out of time, and I will strictly be communicating with y'all. While I have you on the air, Miss Berica, would you email me your phone number? I tried to get in touch with you. I was unable to. People, thank you so much for tuning in. I'd like to thank you, Miss Berica. Thank you, Miss Monica. Thank you, Sam, for helping us produce this marvelous show. We're in uncharted territory. And people, if you will, don't waste your time preaching to the masses. Go to people. Try to spread this message to people that you think are receptive. If they receive it, support them. Befriend them. If they don't, shake the dust off your handles and go to another village and evangelize. Thank you so much, people. We'll be here same time next week, and it'll be our first show. It'll be League of the South week show next week. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, folks.